I'm Bill Littlefield, and it's time for three stories you should know. NFL owners have approved a policy that will require players on the field to stand during the playing of the national anthem, and that's where we're going to start this week. I'm joined by Think Progress's Lindsay Gibbs and ESPN's Don Van Natta Jr. Welcome back to both of you.
Thanks so much for having me.
Thank you, Bill.
According to this new NFL policy, players can stay in the locker room if they wish to during the playing of the national anthem, but if they are on the field, those who, quote, do not stand and show respect for the flag and anthem will receive, quote, appropriate discipline. The owners are apparently trying to reach some kind of compromise between the president of the United States on one side. He loudly suggested last year that firing players who don't demonstrate respect for the flag would be a good thing to do. And between the players themselves who wish to exercise their rights. The new policy, as far as I'm concerned, is ridiculous, and it would be funny if it didn't feel like one more step in the imposition of faux patriotism, and also if it wasn't for the infringement of the right of free speech and protest. In a more reasonable, less crazy world, maybe everybody would see that playing the national anthem and saluting the flag before a football game is unnecessary, but apparently that's too much to ask. I am curious, though, to hear your reaction to this new policy. Lindsay, you first.
I agree. It's pretty ridiculous. And President Trump was talking and suggested that if a player doesn't come out and stand for the national anthem, perhaps they shouldn't be in this country at all. It's clear that this is an issue that he uses particularly to rile up his base and to rile up particularly sentiment against African Americans. And he's going to continue to find ways to do it because it works for his base. So the NFL needs to remember that they can't win this battle. They need to stand up for their players and stand up for the right to peacefully protest.
Unfortunately, the NFL owners allowed Donald Trump to frame this issue for them. The owners have had numerous conversations with the players in which they said their kneeling was to protest social injustices, but the owners this week echoed what Trump called this, a disrespectful protest of the flag, the anthem, and the military. And unfortunately, this is now going to continue to be a problem for the NFL owners' bottom line, even though what they did this week was an attempt to make this bad issue for their bottom line go away.
Yeah, more specifically, the initial protests were, yes, against the failure of justice in this country, but more specifically, they were protesting the killing of black people in the street by police officers, and that has kind of been forgotten by people who are all riled up about the flag and the anthem. And I hope that the initial purpose of the protest can be remembered as part of this discussion as we go forward. Lindsay, your turn.
Well, this weekend, Danica Patrick will race in her last race as a professional driver. She's going to be competing in the Indianapolis 500. And this is her goodbye to the sport that made her famous. She's been a real trailblazer for women within motorsports. She has the highest finish by any female driver at both the Indianapolis 500 and the Daytona 500. She's one of only 14 drivers to have led laps in both races. She was the first woman to have a pole in the top series in NASCAR, had the most top 10s, etc. But she's only won one race in her career. That was 10 years ago in IndyCar. And really, her celebrity far surpassed the success that she had on the track. She was able to utilize her image and to utilize the fact that she was a woman as a way to be a benefit to her within NASCAR, as opposed to a detriment like it has been for so many. She really, I would say, exploited her image and utilized her image with GoDaddy in those racy Super Bowl ads. And that put a lot of people off, especially, you know, feminists. It's very interesting. She's partnering with GoDaddy here at the end of her career. And they are actually this time really portraying her as a businesswoman. So we've kind of come full circle now. And she's really ready to continue to have a successful career. But I'm going to really miss seeing her on race days, even with this complicated legacy. It's so much fun to look out there and to see a woman racing alongside all these men.
Don, will you also miss seeing Danica Patrick in the fire suit?
I will. Here's a shameless plug for my employer, ESPN. Danica will host the ESPYs this July. Mm-hmm. She will be the first female to do so. You know, I'm really excited, as Lindsay said, about her next chapter as an entrepreneur. And it seems that she's been making a lot of moves in every step she's made on the racetrack and away from it about women's empowerment. And so I think we'll see that next chapter for her, and it'll start in July at the ESPYs in L.A.
Well, you have said, both of you, wonderful things about Danica Patrick, and I don't have a lot to add except to say congratulations for leaving this exceptionally dangerous sport in one piece. And I wish her a long and pleasant retirement.
Yeah, I think it's just been inspiring to watch her persevere, even if it hasn't always been in the way that's been the most popular, and it hasn't always been with the best finishes. And I'm disappointed, though, that there aren't more women in the sport that she leaves behind. Mm-hmm. And I think it shows how rare she was. And it's going to be maybe another decade or so until we see the impact of all those young girls in fire suits coming to the tracks to get her autograph.
Don, you're our closer this week.
The NBA, Major League Baseball, and the PGA Tour all want 1% of all the wagers placed in legal betting shops across America. Now, their name for this is an integrity fee. They argue this new revenue stream will help them ensure the integrity of their games because, as we all know, gamblers don't like betting on things that are fixed.
Unless they're the ones who fixed them.
That's right. Integrity fee belongs in the euphemism Hall of Fame. Since the Black Sox baseball scandal, all the major sports leagues have tried to protect the integrity of their games because, of course, it's good business. But they're not the only ones who want to protect the integrity of the games. The most interested people in protecting the integrity of the games are the bookies themselves, as Brent Musburger recently said on ESPN.
Any unhealthy money shows on that computer within minutes, and the alarm bells go on around the globe. So they've been checking on the integrity of this game for a long, long time.
Interestingly, the NFL owners, who never turn down a chance to tap a fresh revenue stream, are opposed to the integrity fee. They're thrilled about legalized gambling because there'll be all sorts of other ways that they can monetize it, but they don't like the integrity fee because they feel sure the state legislatures won't go for billionaires like Jerry Jones and Robert Kraft siphoning off 1% of the VIG. And you know what? They're right. In New Jersey, state legislators are deeply offended by the league's push for this. Can we call it the show me the money fee? They say that 1% for the leagues who fought tooth and nail to stop legal wagering for years and years just isn't right.
I mean, I do have to say I'm glad that the NFL isn't advocating for this because I just might pass out from the irony if the NFL was advocating for an integrity fee for anything.
Now, this reminds me a little bit of something that happened a couple of years ago when the leadership, I think it was CONCACAF in FIFA, changed. And the first thing that the guy who took over did was establish an integrity commission. And nobody was fooled. Yeah. Business as usual went on, and FIFA remained organized crime. So I'm not sure this is going to change anything. If it does happen, I think we all do our best to figure out what's going on and either bet accordingly or, more intelligently, keep our wallets in our pockets and not bet at all on sports. I was cured of that many years ago at the racetrack. In any case, Don, I'll let you wrap it up.
Yeah, there's just a delicious irony, right? I mean, you have had all these major sports leagues fighting tooth and nail against legalized gambling, including, you know, the Supreme Court decision now that has opened the floodgates. And the moment that happens, they've got their hands out.
Me just, some, too.
Yeah, exactly. It's just too rich.
My guests for this week's edition of Three Stories You Should Know have been Think Progress's Lindsay Gibbs and ESPN's Don Van Nata Jr. Thank you, both of you.
Thank you.
Thank you, Bill.